Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And the time in West Africa is 7:05. Here in Germany, it's 8:05. A very good morning to you and welcome to Africa Link. My name is Mark Caldwell. Coming up, the Nigerian army recaptures Chibok from Islamist insurgents.
The Nigerian military, in particular the Nigerian army, is ever determined to safeguard lives and properties of citizens of this country.
And the bodies of 74 South Africans killed when a church guest house collapsed in Nigeria 2 months ago have arrived home.
She's my only daughter, my only child. And I think as family, we are touched. And it was almost like 9 weeks of five-star torture.
Do stay tuned for the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
The Nigerian army says it has recaptured the northeastern town of Chibok, which was seized by Boko Haram militants on Thursday. Boko Haram fighters kidnapped more than 200 schoolgirls from the town in April, sparking global outrage. Last week, thousands of Chibok residents fled when the rebels entered the town, opening fire from pickup trucks and motorcycles. 2 days later, the army recaptured the town and has since been advising residents to return to their homes. My colleague Isaac Mugabe got more details from Colonel Sani Usman, the Nigerian army spokesperson in Maiduguri.
As you are quite aware, the Nigerian military had recaptured the Chibok town, which has been taken over by the insurgents Thursday. We were able to take that town Saturday.
And what can you tell the residents of Chibok now that you recaptured the town?
The residents, they are quite aware of the fact that we have recaptured the town because they have seen the presence of the military. Most of them who are around, they know the role played by the military by routing the insurgents. And life is becoming, is going back to normal in that town.
Chibok residents and those in northern Nigeria on several occasions have alleged that they see no presence of the army in their areas, making them feel abandoned. What have you got to say about that?
Honestly, I don't know of any such report, because we have a cordial working relationship with the residents of Chibok town in particular and the inhabitants of Borno State, which 7th Division of Nigerian Army oversees. We receive tremendous support, understanding, and cooperation from the people. And that is why, to a reasonable extent, we are succeeding in routing some of these insurgents wherever they are.
Can we say that the town won't have any trouble again with the insurgents coming to destabilize the residents?
Even if they do, we have made adequate arrangements to safeguard the lives and properties of the inhabitants of that environment or that town and area.
Well, you mentioned that the army has good working relations with Chibok residents. What are you doing then to bring back their girls, since they are not often updated about your operations?
Everybody knows that every Nigerian, not just the military, hand were on deck to make sure that those girls are brought back to their parents safely. Effort is being made. They quite understood that. One thing for sure is that the Nigerian military, in particular the Nigerian army, is ever determined to safeguard life and properties of citizens of this country. And no effort will be spared to make sure that wherever the insurgents are routed, so that we can have peace and development. And we need their continued support and understanding, as well as cooperation, so that we can succeed in this fight against insurgency.
Colonel Sani Usman from the Nigerian Army in Maiduguri. How are local people responding to the news that Chibok has been recaptured? Here's our northern Nigerian correspondent, Muhammad Al-Amin.
One cannot easily say this is what is happening in Chibok, because there is no communication within the Chibok community, as I'm talking to you, because the Boko Haram has vandalized all the equipment. But there are some fleeing residents that took a refuge in somewhere very close to the place where there is a communication. They told us that the soldiers are in control of Chibok, as I'm talking to you.
What kind of stories have you been hearing from the residents of Chibok, regardless of the fact that there's no communication at the moment?
Well, they are happy because what actually happens, one of the leaders of the Chibok community, who is living in Abuja, confirmed to journalists that right now the Chibok village is safe. He called on members of the town to go back, but honestly, none of them is ready to go back because they want to be sure. They want to be very sure that the town is safe before they went back. So most of them, they are happy, but they are not planning to go back in the recent time now.
And how can you describe the relationship between the locals and the army? Because in the past, we've had reports of locals saying sometimes they feel abandoned by the authorities and the army.
Yes, honestly, according to some residents, they lost confidence with the military as I'm right now. Because when Boko Haram attacked the villages, the soldiers that supposed to confront the Boko Haram ran away and leave them alone. So what actually happening now is the vigilantes, volunteer vigilante groups, they were the ones that are taking care of most of the security activities in those places.
Our northern Nigerian correspondent, Muhammad Al-Amin. Some news coming in. Authorities in Burkina Faso named veteran diplomat Michel Kafando as transitional president early on Monday in the wake of a brief military takeover. And we'll be staying abreast of that story in later editions of Africa Link.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The bodies of 74 South Africans who were killed when a guest house belonging to the church of prominent preacher T.B. Joshua collapsed in Nigeria 2 months ago arrived home on Sunday. The disaster on September the 12th sparked a diplomatic row, with Pretoria accusing Nigeria of not doing enough to investigate the incident. Authorities in South Africa also accused their Nigerian counterparts of failing to respond fast enough at the scene of the disaster. For more details, here's Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg.
It was a moment filled with grief and sorrow when an aircraft containing 74 bodies of the 81 South Africans who died in Lagos landed on the tarmac at Waterkloof Air Base in Pretoria. The deceased South Africans left their families to worship with the self-proclaimed prophet T.B. Joshua at his synagogue, Church of All Nations in Lagos. However, on the 12th of September, the guest house on the church premises collapsed, killing a total of 116 worshippers. After 2 months of waiting, bereaved families and friends sang the national anthem with heavy hearts on Sunday, as four trucks containing the bodies of their deceased family members came one by one out of the aircraft. Speaking at the reception ceremony for the 74 bodies, Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa told the visibly traumatized and terrified mourners that the entire nation was mourning with them.
As a nation, and indeed as a people, we share in your grief and in your sorrow. We understand that the loss you have suffered remains unbearable and incalculable.
He assured the nation that the government is doing all it can to ensure the bodies of the South Africans who remain in Nigeria will soon be brought home for burial as soon as they are positively identified. Mourners broke down in tears as the names of the deceased were being called out. In addition to the 81 of its citizens, South Africa will also repatriate 3 Zimbabweans and 1 Congolese who all travelled on South African documents to Nigeria. And a relative who introduced himself as the father of one of the deceased, Maria Shakofatso Mulebatsi, poured out his grief.
She's my only daughter, my only child. And I think as family, we are touched, and it was almost like 9 weeks of five-star torture.
Lindiwe Ndwandwe, a survivor who spent 5 days under the rubble and only survived by drinking her own urine, gave a glimpse of the last moments faced by the deceased on that fateful night.
1 minute, I just saw the wall falling on top of me. I just shout, Jesus, Jesus, please help me. And then next thing, I was down.
The South African government says the lack of DNA testing technology in Nigeria and the law prohibiting foreign personnel from lending help in pathology testing were the reasons for the 2 months' delay in repatriating the bodies. The reception ceremony ended with a heart-sobbing moment known in the military language as Death March.
Tuzo Kamalo reporting. Let's head now to Liberia, where the government has lifted a state of emergency imposed in August in the wake of the Ebola outbreak. As our correspondent in Monrovia, Julius Kanuba, reports, the hope is that economic activity, which suffered under the state of emergency, will now start to pick up again.
It's a very busy day at the Watersau Market in the Liberian capital, Monrovia, one of Liberia's biggest commercial centers. Like many commercial centers in Liberia, the Watersau Market was operating on an emergency measure amid the Ebola epidemic. It meant reduction in trading hours and, in some instances, shutting down of businesses. Boka Kamara is a local trader in imported goods. He explained that the state of emergency had adverse effects on commercial activities.
Business is just slow. Not one customer has come since the state of emergency was put into place. And people who used to come from out of town to buy goods can't come these days. So business is very slow.
But with the lifting of the emergency measure, Boka is positive that trading will once again boom. For Yankins Doe, a trader in pharmaceutical products, and Mary Tamba, a dealer in construction materials, the lifting of the state of emergency will make a difference, especially in attracting investors back to Liberia.
And we're possible release to the country.
It's a bit relieving that the state of emergency was lifted. You know, most of the investors ran away. Maybe with the emergency now lifted, they will come back.
At least with the lifting of the state of emergency, people will be able to trade in goods and move around freely.
One key impediment to the slowdown in commercial activities during the state of emergency was the precautionary measures adopted by almost every Liberian to avoid contracting the virus. These measures, according to Steve Tamba, a Liberian social, economic and political commentator, negatively impacted trading in goods.
What actually affected the people was the fear factor of the Ebola. People were not transacting as much. People were not purchasing as much. Businesses were closing. Partners were leaving. These were the things that were affecting the economy. And there's not much difference right now, but everything is improving marginally.
With Liberia making progress in the fight against Ebola, many here are hopeful that commercial activities will fully resume to normalcy to allow this poor West African nation get back on the track of rebuilding.
Julius Kanuba reporting from Monrovia. And now let's find out what's been happening to the Crossroads generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there, and welcome to the fifth episode of our radio drama, Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
This is our third season called Facing the Future, and a lot has been happening lately. Mercy, Tina and Trudy are studying journalism at university, but Mercy has other things on her mind right now. She has a 3-year-old daughter called Linda. Mercy's mother used to take care of her, But she and Mercy have had a huge fight. The next day, Mercy confessed something to her best friend, Trudy.
Linda is living here with me.
What?
Shh! Mercy, you know that's against the rules. What if the warden finds out?
I don't know, Trudy.
Mercy's boyfriend, Nikki, wasn't very supportive either.
So now you just make decisions without telling me.
Come on. We don't live together. I thought you'd understand. Linda is my daughter.
And I'm your boyfriend.
Today's episode is called No Picnic. But before we hear how Nikki, Trudy, and Mercy are doing, let's check on Mercy's younger brother, Kadu. It's break time at his school.
Hey, Summer, why are you crying?
I'm not crying, Kadu.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Come on, tell me. Is it those girls you were playing with over there? You know I'm the class prefect. I can report them to the teacher.
No, don't do that.
So, what's going on? Tell me.
Okay, but you have to promise you won't report them.
All right.
They say I can't play with them anymore, and they laughed at my yellow dress.
Why?
They say I wear the same dress every day and that it stinks. But it's not true. I have lots of yellow dresses, not just this one.
So yellow's your favorite color, Summer?
It kind of is. In my family, we all dress like this. It's because of our religion, and my parents
say
that...
Do they tell you have to dress like that? Because you could change here at school, you know? They'd never know.
No, it's not like that. My parents said if the other kids laugh at us, we don't have to wear it.
Then why do you still wear a yellow dress?
Because I like it, and I'm proud of my religion, but the other girls don't understand.
Well, I like your dress.
Thank you, Kadu.
And I say we should report those girls right now.
But Kadu, you promised.
Our teacher said no one should laugh at anyone else because of their religion.
Please, Kadu, if we report them, they'll never let me play with them again.
Okay. You know, my dad is very religious too. He just came back to the city, and all he can talk about is this King Karubu. He wants my brother and me to go and pray with him.
Do you go?
I don't like it. I don't understand what you're saying in those prayers.
My mom always says that belief comes from the heart. You have to feel it. And I feel really good when I pray with her.
I don't feel anything when Dad talks about King Karubu. But my brother Banda seems to love it. Hey, do you want to play with me and my friends tomorrow?
Maybe.
I didn't know I had so much dirty laundry.
Hey, Mercy, are you doing the washing for your whole building?
Oh, hi, Trudy. I don't even know how I let them pile up like this. And my daughter, she can be so messy. She's playing over there peacefully now. But once she gets bored or hungry or tired...
Come on, I'll help you.
Oh, thank you. Look, Mercy, maybe you could ask your mother to take Linda again. Trudy.
I'm just saying. I mean, she helped you take care of her all this time while you finished school.
I just can't, okay? Not after what my father told me and after the fight I had with my mother. I don't know who to trust anymore.
What about Nikki? Maybe he could help out with Linda. He gets along well with her, doesn't he?
That's what I thought too. But, hey, what is it?
Nothing. Come on, tell me.
It's just that Nikki hasn't been taking my calls since I told him Linda's come to live with me. Everything was fine before, but now, I think it reminds him too much of the fact that I had someone else's baby.
I thought he accepted that long ago, back when you two got together.
I thought so too.
By the way, did you ever hear from Dan again?
No, nothing. And I don't want to either after he went back to Laboria as soon as Linda was born.
Tell you what, let's forget about men. They're all idiots anyway. I've got some news for you.
What news?
I got a job at a newspaper.
Really? That's so cool. What are you doing for them?
They told me to...
Hey, Linda, don't go too far. Linda! Sorry, I'll be right back. Oh. Thank you.
Ah, these gym clothes smell terrible. I have to take a quick shower before I go to afternoon class. Hello?
Hey, Nikki, my son, how are you?
I'm fine, Mom.
Since you went to university, it seems you've forgotten all about us. You don't write, you don't call.
You talk as if I'm living abroad. It's not that far. And I came over to have lunch with Dad just the other day.
Or is it that girlfriend of yours, Mercy, who's keeping you away from us?
Mom, stop it.
Seriously, Nikki, when are you going to get over your obsession with her?
Mom, is that why you called?
I'm your mother. I'm worried about you, Nikki. And I don't think she's good for you. She has a child with another man and...
I know that. And I'm trying to come to terms with it. But you reminding me about it all the time doesn't make it any easier.
So why do you insist on being her boyfriend?
Because I love her, Mom. Okay? I love her and I don't know what else to do.
Nikki, you're a handsome boy who can get any girl in the world. You don't need...
Stop it, Mom.
That girl is from the slums.
I can't listen to this nonsense anymore. I've had enough of her controlling me and telling me what's best for me. Hello?
Nikki, how dare you hang up?
Ha, and I'll do it again.
Hi, Trudy. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Mercy.
Hey, Mercy. We've been waiting for you. We were supposed to meet half an hour ago here in the library.
Mm-hmm.
We've almost finished.
Sorry, Trudy. I had to take Linda to my next door neighbor in the hostel. She doesn't have classes today, and she offered to take care of her.
You look stressed. Is everything okay?
No. We're about to sit to our first exams next week, and I don't have the slightest idea what to write.
But that's because you've been missing classes.
Tina, you have no idea how hard it's been with Linda around.
I think I do. Taking care of my brother and sisters at home is no picnic either. My brother's been helping out a little more, though, since he got into trouble and I was there for him.
What happened?
He had to be treated in hospital and... let's not talk about it now. Anyway, he's taking care of our sisters tonight, so I'm free.
Cool. I have an idea.
What?
Tina, why don't we all meet this evening to help Mercy cheer up? Oops. I mean, catch up.
Sounds like a good idea. What do you say, Mercy?
Really? You do that for me?
Of course, silly. What are friends for?
Oh, you two are amazing. You can come over to my place and we could...
No. No, we can't work in your room with a little one distracting us all the time.
But I can't leave Linda on her own.
Tell you what, Mercy. Ask your housemate to babysit for you tonight. And we'll take you to a quiet place to study.
Oh, great. I'll ask her right away. I can't concentrate anyway.
Trudy, a quiet place to study? Where can we go?
I want us to take her out, Tina. She's so stressed. Huh? We could do with some fun too, don't you think?
Good idea. I know a place where we can go.
Hey, what are you two laughing about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So, will Tina's and Trudy's plan work out? You'll have to wait until next time to hear. But you can watch Tina's latest video diary right now at dw.de/LBE. You can also discuss what you've just heard with other Learning by Ear fans on our Facebook page. Take care.
And there'll be more from the Crossroads generation on Thursday. Our main stories: the Nigerian army says it has recaptured Chibok from insurgents. The bodies of 74 South Africans killed when a church guest house collapsed in Nigeria 2 months ago have arrived home. We've also been hearing from traders in Liberia who hope that business will start to pick up now that the state of emergency has been lifted. Our email address is feedback.africa@dw.de. Our postal address, Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, thank you for listening and bye now.